Hey, welcome to Mind Your Hive's Beekeeping Podcast. This is one of our B-side episodes. I'm here with my beautiful co-host, Kara Jo.
Hello, hello.
And if you're not familiar, we do most of our podcast episodes are kind of centered around beekeeping, but we do these little offshoots called the B-side, where we've talked to farmers, we've talked to mixologists, and today we're talking to Chris Stout. Chris Stout is the owner and operator of Stout Lawn and Pest. We were recently on his podcast, The Root Zone, talking, so we thought we'd bring him on here. What's up, Chris?
Hello, hello. How are you doing? What is the hello, hello?
It's a Stern thing.
Howard Stern.
I was never a Stern person.
Gary Delabate.
He made a tape.
Like a VHS tape of
trying to get his girlfriend back, and it's like this pathetic attempt, and they like paid like all this money to come and sit, and they had a couple showings of it, and he starts off the tape with hello, hello.
Oh,
gotcha. That's what it is.
And then now Gary, that's just how he talks. He always says hello, hello.
Got it.
In one of the earlier episodes, we're like, anybody know what the hello, hello is? And like people reached out, and then other people are like, dude, I have no idea. Yeah,
it's like
if you listen to Stern, you know.
Stern is one of those things. Like, yeah. You know, if you watch South Park, you know the joke about South Park.
Fish sticks.
See? Exactly.
that's one of the inside South Park references I know.
Did you say fish dicks or fish sticks?
That's the whole episode.
Oh,
okay. Exactly.
Oh, you don't know
right
what it
there.
Is. Okay, I got it.
So Chris and Kara, they go way back. They went to high school together, known each other forever. And we just, I don't know, kind of reconnected around 2020. And then Chris listens to the podcast, has his own podcast. And it's interesting. One day he's like, Kara, I want to debate yeah, beekeepers versus lawn guy. Yeah. And I want to do it on your podcast. And I'm like, Kara, I feel bad. Like, I'm going to just make him look like an asshole. Like, I can't do that. There's no winning that argument.
No, no.
And then
I felt real uncomfortable. I was like, I don't want to do this anymore.
I'm like, Kara, I'm going to destroy this dude in a debate. That's not fair. Like, it's not very welcoming having him on our podcast. It's just because it's not a winnable thing, right? No. Like, so then we went on The Root Zone. We had great conversation. Check that out. Talking about like, where's that middle ground between, you know, being an environmental steward, which I hope most beekeepers are. They aren't. Spoiler
they're
alert. They're not. And, you know, where can that middle ground be? Like, people want to have lawns, but like there's an in-between. And you had some really awesome points on your podcast that we talked about. And I'm like, you know what? We should bring them on and just talk about that middle ground.
Yeah.
And then who knows, if you've listened to we're already drinking a couple beers. If you've listened to us before, then you know we tend to just go off on random tangents.
Yeah.
But yeah, so all right, how, you know, that's it. It's how can you still have your lawn?
Mm-hmm.
And I remember doing research when we were going to debate, like, how bullshit lawns are, and just the start of them was just like,
well, the start of lawns. Do you know the start of lawns? Mm-hmm. I just heard this. This is awful, but the start of lawns was rich people had lawns because they tried to show off that they didn't have to farm, that they had enough money that they could just waste land.
Got it.
And then just like sit back and have this lawn and while everybody else like,
it's like the whole like, we're fat because we have enough money to eat, so yeah, being fat is sexy.
Yeah, it's like a gluttonous thing.
Yeah, which just is crazy. And don't get me wrong, like, it's so nice when somebody has a nice lawn and you're like outside and you're doing whatever and you're hanging out, and it's like, people should have that.
Yeah.
But when we drive by places that just vast, all green, just acres and acres, and there's no trees, there's no shrubs, but it's perfectly manicured and there's not a single dandelion on it.
I think I agree with you.
Yeah.
And I think that's the difference, is that I hate treating 4 acres worth of turf. Maybe if it's a sports field or something like that, of course.
Oh yeah, totally. But granted though, you're going to do it. You're not turning that business down.
Well, because if he doesn't do it, somebody else is going
to
do it.
Totally.
Absolutely. And I'm not in the business to not make money. Right.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I'm definitely a business owner first, but the way I look at it is, if you have 4 acres of turf, why would you need 4 acres of turf? You don't have a professional sports team playing on there. You don't have this. If you want to have half an acre of turf, so when you have parties outside, you know, it's, but why clear off all that land, or why not just clear it off and, like you said, plant trees or plant native species in that area and make a trail through it, or mow it and use the hay for something, or, you know, get rid of it that way. It's just, sometimes it's overdone and it is gluttonous.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. Like that's,
yeah.
I want the, in a lot of our, it's how can I be better than my neighbor? How can my lawn be greener than my neighbor?
Which funny. So during the pandemic, I was delivering beer for the brewery I work for. And, you know, so I would just see all these neighborhoods and so many people were home, you know, everybody was home then. So like, you know, people were like lawns. They were just extra meticulous with their lawns. And I'd go through these neighborhoods and be like, perfect lawn, perfect lawn, perfect lawn. To me, beautiful, unkempt, dandelion, and then perfect lawn, perfect lawn, perfect lawn. Yeah. I'm like, the neighbors hate that one guy. But like, yo, those are our people. I like this guy.
and we look at it. I mean, I look at it the same way too, because I see super green lawn, super perfect lawn, super well, like manicured perfectly landscaping. Like, oh, I got my boxwoods in a perfect row. I got my cherry tree or my Japanese maple in a perfect spot. Like that kind of landscaping bothers me. Like, I don't like that type of landscaping. I look at it like, oh, we can plant this here and I'm going to have some ivy growing through this area. And that's how I look at it. And then you go through these blocks and you're like greener, greener, greener. And it's just, it's unnecessary to compete with your neighbor to get the greenest grass on the lawn.
Well, and I feel that pressure. Like moving here, it is just a mess.
Yeah. So with the current property we just bought not long ago, we've been here maybe 6 months now, was, I mean, there was like English ivy everywhere. It's very uncomfortable. It was, you know, super old woman that passed away.
And like grapevine and bindweed. So it wasn't even stuff that you could like mow and like, who cares what it really is? Like you could mow it and it'll look fine. Like it wasn't even mowable.
No, no.
But it's, that stuff is drowning out the stuff that should be planted.
And, exactly.
And there's so many things that, like, not just grass, but ivies, like things that are just evasive and are just green. Kalinga is also a weed that grows, you know, in the lawn, but if it's left unkept, it can grow over your
house and
kill native species. So it's something that's new to our area because of climate change. So,
well, the other day I kind of haven't really met the people totally across the street from us. Like, it was like an old dude and we say hi to him and everything. But his wife, she's one of those people that would never even like look at us when she leaves her house. She like turns her head to just make sure she doesn't talk to anybody. But it was like, hey, Merry Christmas. And then she's like, oh, it looks so nice. We were planting seeds out front.
Because it didn't look nice for a long time. It looked very trashy, but we're like trying to make it look nice. I'm like, I hope the neighbors know that this is like a long game. This isn't like a short game
And then we're like, yeah, we really battled. Like, we had to tarp and cover up all this English ivy that was here. And now we're through it. And she was like, yeah, years ago I planted English ivy. And we're like, I wanted to be like, it was you.
But she said, and then ever since then, we've been trying to pull it up. Mm-hmm. She was like, I'm like, yeah, you do that. You plant this thing and you're like, oops, shouldn't have done that.
So
and then you
spend all this time. My flip has English ivy grown up the house and I've pulled it out 3 years in a row. Yeah.
So we talked about it on the Root Zone podcast. You know, Kara Jo Skincare, we're constantly educating our customers. You know, there's... Kara's doing so much work, working to be an herbalist and taking these courses, and it's just constant education. It's the more you can educate. We talked about how you have to educate your customers, because I'm sure a lot of people, and actually we know some of your customers that told us this, which is pretty cool, but they said, oh, well, we always thought we had to get rid of all the leaves. But Chris said, actually, you've got to mulch the leaves and leave them.
Absolutely.
And they're like, it's so much. Yeah. And I'm like, that's pretty great that your lawn guy is going, hey,
there's
a better way.
Well,
but it also looks so good. You know what I mean? But
it's so funny because we are only our lawn. My lawn care business is to guide the lawn in the right direction with little supplemental help. Right?
Yeah.
So when we talk about when we're talking to our customers and how can your lawn look better, here are the cultural practices that will make your lawn look better. So you want to get rid of weeds. What do weeds need just like grass? They need sunlight. So you want to get rid of crabgrass, or you want to do it organically. How can you do that? You can mow your lawn less in the springtime when that crabgrass blade is coming up out of the soil and it needs sunlight. So a long, healthy, shaggy lawn will will not
allow, just drown. It'll drown out. Like, so grass starts growing first, correct, before the crop. Huh, see, this is good to know.
Yeah, this is good.
So if you want to drown out more weeds, more undesirable, some of the ground ivies, some of the things that aren't really native to our areas that you don't want in your lawn because they're going to take over everything, you can do give your grass a little bit of a head start by not mowing it. Maybe mowing it in the beginning of the year to get
clean it up a little bit.
Clean it up, get all the debris chopped up and back into the soil, and then let it grow for the first couple weeks, and you're going to naturally drown out some of the weed seeds that need light to grow. So that's one cultural practice that we give to our customers: watering, when to mow, how to mow. You know, in the wintertime, don't throw salt all over your driveway. That's going to kill your corner. Hmm. You know, that's your...
The runoff is just going to kill stuff.
Not only your grass, but the salt that you're putting, is where is that going?
Yeah.
That's going right into your waterway. So you're putting 50-pound bag or a 25-pound bag on your driveway, right? That's not what it's designed for. Like, you probably have to put a pound down for the whole driveway, right? So we got back to the root zone we were talking about, the misuse of products.
Oh,
so
overuse of fertilizers, overuse of
everything, not reading the label.
Yeah.
Your weed and feed products. Like, well, that has a pesticide or a herbicide in it. Well, if you put down 1.5 of the rate, well, you're 0.5 more than nature. That's they've all been tested. How much filtration, how much less harmful is it to nature? How much is the plant going to use and never reach the soil, right? So when you put more than it needs, that's how it gets in the soil. It's not so much you apply the correct product at the right time, that plant is going to absorb it and either die and it's going to decay and be gone, or it's going to use it and help it grow.
Huh. So, yeah, and like so many people with wells use like these chemicals. Like, mm-hmm. I remember my uncle had a well property, needed all this Roundup, and he was just spraying Roundup all the time. And I was like, dude, stop it. Mm-hmm. Stop doing this. It's going in your well water. And I like made him promise. I don't know if he ever did, but I made him promise to stop using it.
Zero chance. One thing, if you listen to this podcast, you know, any of the neonicotinoids and bees and native pollinators and all living things, it's so bad.
Yeah, human beings.
Specifically, though, queen bees, it really affects them. The numbers of how they're affected, the percentage smaller these glands are that they have, is really a direct correlation to the die-off that we're having and the weaker bees that we're having. So if we're going to tell you one thing, stop using any neonicotinoid. Roundup, the biggest one that we all know, but there's plenty of different names for them. Stop using them. There's other options.
Absolutely.
And we talked about this on Root Zone, but it's soil health is the biggest thing. It's everything. It's like in beekeeping, when there's problems with the hive, you go a little deeper and you realize they're having these problems because the population isn't good enough. Why is the population not good enough? There's a deeper reason that pests and disease are able to, you know, quote unquote, penetrate into your hive. It's got to be the same in lawn care.
It's the same exact thought process and how, you know, the question is how can we be good stewards and have a nice lawn? Well, the idea is to eliminate as much as you can and create a healthy environment for the species or the grass that you want to grow. So how do you create that healthy environment? Cultural practices and feeding the soil is the key. And letting, in the root zone, we talked about this, letting nature do its own work. So
yeah,
the grass clippings, the leaves, the all that has a huge impact on the soil itself. So that's where we come in and try to educate our customers, like, hey, we don't have to come out 6 times every year and spray this. If you want to be more organic, we can teach you how to be more per se organic or using less of our herbicide or a pesticide, and we can get you to a certain level where your lawn is like, okay, this is healthy, this is where it is. Let me only get one treatment a year. Let me only get no treatments a year. So there's
you're doing treatments, and then the next year it's like we're
healthier,
and you're almost like, if you're, when you're good at it, you're not as needed, which is a battle. And we talk about that with Cara Jo Skincare. Cara, you know, has these like acne fighting problems, and people are like, oh my god, you got rid of my acne, my skin's now doing its own defense, and I don't need to buy your stuff. It's like, that's awesome, But, you know, you can buy, like, buy our honey or you can buy something else.
I got good soap. Everybody yeah. needs soap all the time.
The same concept is, we have customers are 2, 3, 4 years in and they got the full package. They got fungicide. They got everything, got aeration, seeding, everything. Well, those customers are now calling us up like, hey, we don't really need, the grass is so healthy. We require a fungicide. They can fight off the fungus. Yeah. And if you get a little brown in the summertime, no big deal. We don't have to aerate and seed. Now, if you want to do a true organic program, how would you do it? You would dominate the species. You would aerate and seed every spring and fall. You apply lime. You apply humic acids. You apply, all the normal things you would normally do. And you'll, in a year, 2, 3, 4 years, you're going to have a nice looking lawn without any chemicals.
So our backyard is muddy. We've been getting so much rain. And when is the earliest that you really want to spread grass seed?
After the last frost. So okay. After you're certain of the last frost, kind of like when you plant your annuals.
Lots of stuff. Right? Yeah.
You know, that's the basic time frame. And for you guys, you want to plant, there's a couple different varieties of grass, but
that was literally my next question. So
springtime, you want to plant some sort of ryegrass. Ryegrass grows really fast. It germinates really fast. You're going to get good coverage. Yeah. Is it the prettiest grass? You guys aren't worried about the prettiest
grass.
Not
at all. And I know that's a ton of nitrogen. It's putting nitrogen back into the soil.
Correct.
Yeah,
correct.
Yeah.
So the more overseeding, the more tillage you can do. Not saying you have to till your whole property, but we talk about soil to seed contact. The best, however you can get soil to seed contact and water it, you're going to have good results. And as you're going through the season, you're going to have grasses like a lot of people are just looking at your lawn out back when you're looking at the goats. You have a lot of grass called Poa annua. So it's a great grass if you live in California.
See, we are talking about Pennsylvania right now. Just like with beekeeping, it's very important where you are.
Absolutely.
Your advice to somebody in Ohio is going to be different than Pennsylvania. It's certainly going to be different than California. Absolutely. You know what I mean? So know your area, know your climate conditions.
So what? It's just drought or what makes it good for not here?
Well, we get like all extremes, right? Like Pennsylvania gets...
So we're a transition zone.
Yeah, okay.
So that's we're 7A or 7B. I forget.
It depends. Like we're currently 7A, 20 miles down the road, 7B. Yeah, so or 6B.
Yeah, so it gets, but all that is a transition zone. So we can grow Bermuda grass, we can grow zoysia grass, but we also grow fescue grasses. So we can grow all types, and as climate change has affected us, just like it affects the whole world, we can now grow a lot more different weeds that we didn't have before because of the 1 degree difference, 2 degrees difference.
Yeah.
So are there certain grasses that have like deeper roots?
Yes.
Which ones are those?
The key is, as long as your grass is, I try to explain this to our customers, the longer the grass is, the deeper the roots will go. So if you think about a tree, how does a tree work? A lot of people think you see that old picture of a tree and it's like one big taproot and it goes straight down and branches off that. It's not at all how it works. It's flat, basically. It's only maybe 8 to 10 inches under the ground. And grasses works like that. So as far as the trees go out, as far as the roots will go out, the farthest branches, the farthest roots.
Huh.
Well, grass is very similar. It's the opposite. So as high as the grass is as deep as the roots can grow. So the higher your grass gets, the deeper and the bigger impact it's going to have on the soil. Because what happens when roots get deeper, they're opening crevices, they're accessing nutrients and things that weren't in there.
It's also like a tougher, I remember our old property, they were just, you could tell the previous owners were just once a week, lowest setting on the lawnmower. I mean, by looks, when you first saw it, you're like, wow, look how manicured and this is. But then it would rain once, you take a step and it would like, the top layer of would just slide off.
There's no structure.
None. And we got chickens, we put a lot of compost down, seed, and then it was like, oh my gosh, look at this.
We would let the grass grow tall because also nobody could see our house from the road. So it didn't even matter.
Remember playing cornhole? Like we had a party and we just had cornhole set up. And from people standing playing cornhole.
One of the first years that we lived there.
There was bare grass for like a whole year and a half after that because it was just so, the soil was just so weak. The grass was so weak and just one, I don't know, 4 hours of constant walking. Yep.
Compaction.
Wiped it out. And then the next year after that, remember being like the next day being like, look, cornhole didn't ruin the grass.
Yeah.
Like,
well, it's the same as the summertime. Think about when you're having everybody's having a party in the summertime, they mow their grass down to 2 inches and they're wondering why their grass is dead for the next 3-4 weeks. Well, you basically just eliminated 80% of that plant structure. How is that plant going to survive? And it's not getting water. It's not, you know, how does the plant survive? It needs sunlight. Those blades are the leaves of the trees or the leaves of the plant.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So when you cut it off, you're, you know, first of all, every time you mow, plant loses 30%. Someone's going to quote me on this, but you were totally wrong.
Oh, we get it. It's fine.
Who cares? It's somewhere around 30% of the plant, the entire plant's moisture comes out every mow.
Wow, okay.
So what is the, like, the solution to that? It's like almost common sense. Don't mow your lawn. Let the plant do what it needs to do. Chris, why is your lawn so green in the summertime? Because I mow it 3 times in 3 months.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, man, I've always been the same way. Just out of pure laziness, though. I mean, little did I know. Yeah, now I do. No, I wasn't lazy. I'm being environmental. I'm thinking of the grass first.
Well, and we're doing, like, out front. We'll have to show you when you leave. Creating a meadow out front, essentially. And I bought a bunch of native grasses, which are so different than the grasses you're talking about.
Yeah, it's not like lawn grass.
You're talking like field grasses, basically.
Yeah. But I want to spread those. Like, so you can't really spread them in the yard because that's not how it works. And Greg told me that because I was like, oh, I'm going to spread it all over. And Greg's like, Kara, yeah, that's not how it works. I was like, okay. Weird clump.
You thought you had a muddy mess this spring. Wait till that all dies in the fall. And you're like, what happened?
But yep. Like edges and those grasses are so beautiful and mm-hmm. they're long. And so that's just like another option of grasses for people.
But to get back, like I was looking at your yard, you had like this Poa annua. And the problem with this grass is it's doing okay now because it does good during the transition times of the year. So you might look, you're looking out here and like, oh man, I got a lot of grass out there. Looks great. Well, that grass is going to go dormant just like all the rest of them do. They come back in the spring. You're like, oh, my grass looks great. And then April, May, and then June hits. You're like, my lawn's starting to disappear. And then you get in July and it's like gone. You're like, what happened to my lawn? Well, you have this particular type of grass that goes dormant in the summertime where it does well in California because that's...
You want it to go dormant in the summertime because it's too hot or whatever?
It's just a different climate where it can survive for 9 months. Right. 12 months out of the year, where our time frame, it's like 2.5 months in the spring and 2.5 months in the fall. So looking at your lawn, I'm like, if you guys throw ryegrass down and it's quickly germinating, you can start dominating that grass. So maybe in the fall time, it gets less of a running start in the fall compared to next spring.
Well, doesn't that sound familiar to beekeeping? You know, April, May, you're like, my bees are killing it. They're growing. They're bringing in all this nectar. They're storing. Man, they look great.
They're friendly.
They're so friendly. Yeah, they're so nice in the spring. I barely wear equipment in the spring because they're so nice. Because the environment for them is perfect. But then all of a sudden, the hot of the summer comes. July hits. And you're like,
there's not enough food.
Man, they're not looking as good. All of a sudden, you're seeing deformed wing virus. You're seeing these pests are starting to take over because their growth isn't so much and they're stalled out. And then all of a sudden you go, what happened? And it's like, looks can be deceiving. You got to go a little deeper with thinking of things, you know?
And that's where the root zone comes
there
in.
There, right? Oh, look at you. Look at you.
Well, it really is. I mean, you're describing the... Every lawn care guy is a rock star in the spring. And this is how...
Oh,
this
man.
Is exactly my sales pitch. I got to say, listen... We're gonna look like rock stars in the spring. You're gonna wonder why you're paying us in the summer, and then we're gonna look like rock stars in the fall. This is how it's always gonna go. But my goal is to make us all look the same in the spring, have a healthier lawn through the summer by us showing you how to do it and when to do it and why to do it and all this stuff. It's gonna end up being such a just a. It's not gonna be this ride. It's not gonna be. Oh, you know, another major lawn care. They're just spraying your lawn to make it look good, and that's it. We want 12 or 8 months, 8.5 months of nice-looking lawn. Whether it's always green or not, no, we're not looking for an always green lawn. We're looking for an always healthy lawn.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, I was going to
say. So the herbicides that you use, because we recorded your podcast at your garage,
mm-hmm.
And I saw there was like a poster of what is that, a poster of like weeds or something, that are those like target plants that you're trying to get rid of, or?
Absolutely. We have selective herbicides.
Okay.
So any, now there's usually like two categories, a broadleaf weed and a grassy weed.
Yep.
That's it. I mean, and most herbicides on the market, and just like any other industry, there's 5,000 of them that all do this exact same thing. And the chemistry is off 1%, you know, and that's the misconception, is that like, oh, I'm going to buy it from this guy, or it's going to be better from this guy. Well, it's not about that. It's knowing about what the active ingredient is, what that target pest is. And so we use selective herbicides in the spring and fall.
So my whole thing is, obviously I like weeds and herbs, like not herbicides.
I mean, we hate the term weeds. It pisses us off half the time. Like, well, whoever decided dandelion is a undesirable flower is,
well, weed is defined as a plant in an undesirable location.
So a weed to you isn't a weed to me. There it is, right?
And so that really comes down to like your customers.
I don't think we have weeds.
Yeah, right.
Like it's not like it's.
What do you want to get rid of?
Yeah, right. They're growing where you let them grow.
So, but it's just interesting when we go back to like education of people, and this is always what I'm preaching, is like, one, like if you go out front right now, we didn't cut anything down. We're letting it all just be there for the insects and the birds and like housing for winter and all that kind of stuff. And obviously you only want certain things growing in certain places, because that desire from the, like that, the judgment and the desire to look nice and be aesthetic. And like, I think that just is like with everybody, unfortunately. But it was interesting.
How far do you go?
Yeah, because
I think that's where
and it's also like education for the customers, because I was looking at that poster, and a lot of the quote unquote weeds on that poster that people want to get rid of are medicinal. And I was looking at it and like, how many things are we trying to get rid of when like you could take that easily and it could help you poop better, or you know what I mean? It could give you vitamin C. Well, you know, like, so I think educating people on like what the value of what's around us, and not even people like just being like, yeah, get rid of that.
Well that's how many really people would be like, I don't like this ryegrass that's growing. It doesn't look as pretty. It doesn't match everything else. And you're like, yeah, but what it's doing is it's rebuilding your soil. Yeah. Like it serves a purpose.
We preach that all the time. Like we are not in the business of making your lawn look like Wrigley's Park or like Wrigley's Field. Like that's just not, we are in the business of producing a healthy turf.
And your lawns look beautiful.
And also for the record, you're not in the business of cutting lawns. That's not what you guys do.
Absolutely
not. You're not a lawn cutting service. You are the soil building service.
Exactly. But
yeah. So I mean, straight up just mowing the lawn every week is a very, very different landscaping type company than what you do.
Correct. Correct.
Which
we don't play in the dirt, we just make it good.
There you go.
So we don't mess with the dirt, but we just make it healthy.
All right, let me ask you a question. So we're really fortunate, just we have goats, we have chickens. I mean, we have like black gold coming out of their asses, you know what I mean? Which is so good. But I've been looking at our yard now, and we moved in the summertime, so there was no, I've really ignored most of it, but aerating alone, okay? I'll get specific. Like just the roller that just pokes the holes in, but it's pushing the soil in. It's not pulling plugs.
So that there's,
you know, is that still worth it?
Anytime you're increasing oxygen and water flow deeper is encouraged.
Okay.
Especially with a plant like grass that's so resilient, right? So you're not going to do that to something that will get severely damaged by the aeration process. But the grass likes the aeration process. The grass wants to grow deeper roots and deeper, wants access to water and things like that. So what we recommend is the core aerating. So you're
popping the plugs out.
Correct.
Yeah.
Right. So that's, you're popping the plugs out, but there's a lot of studies now that, you know, as I get educated, as our company gets educated, that might not be the best way to do it, because you're actually removing microorganisms. Your that soil that comes out of the ground is basically sterile at that point. So what is the benefit compared to the loss?
Because it's not feeding on anything anymore. It's just
the sunlight and UV. Mm-hmm. It degradates and it's gone. Right? Yeah. There's nothing left in it. It just turns into
the thing like that dust. We're growing in that 3-4 inches deep are meant to be 4 inches deep, not on the surface.
Correct. So right. you expose those roots for 2 days of sun, it's gone. All the structure is gone. So there's other ways. There's other products with liquid aeration. It's a buzzword in our industry. Like
never heard of it.
How can you increase oxygen and water flow without actually mechanically removing core soils?
Besides growing better roots?
Better roots.
Right.
Letting the roots grow.
Yeah.
So this aerate product is supposed to, it's like more like a soap, and it can break down and dive deeper into the roots and allows kind of an expansion of the soil. And that's going to allow more air and water to get down. But the problem is none of it's all proven, right? The things that are proven in our industry, unfortunately, are driven by big ag.
Yeah. It starts with the solution before it goes to the, you know, it's like,
well, and that's also,
here's this chemical. You know what? It works. This study just shows it works here. You're like, we started with the chemical.
Well, that's the worst part about looking at any university study.
Oh, they can also prove whatever they want to prove.
Any of them will say that aeration is the best, and liquid aeration is the worst. And then there's another very high, you know, ag department, very good university.
Well, who's just funding it? You know, that's the question. Well, and that's
is
the reason.
Is big ag funding it? Exactly. Is the farmers funding it? So if they want a new product, like we always were the redhead stepchild of the ag world, because we're the last ones to get products. We have to kind of make do, because the money's in ag. The money that's products that are being created are driven through ag department.
Yeah, big time.
The farming industry, not lawn care.
Yeah. Backyard. We have 50-100 hives. We are tiny, tiny players in the beekeeping game, and the commercial beekeepers with thousands and thousands and thousands of hives are driving the pest control. It's not backyard beekeepers.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's why.
Which is also super frustrating.
People don't know the medicinal herbs that are growing in their lawns and want you to kill them because of big pharmaceutical.
Yeah.
Is not teaching us that. They just teach us about medicine. It's like this perpetual problem.
Dive too deep, but like, I'm so over our healthcare system and how we take care of.
I mean, talk about reactive versus proactive. Oh my gosh!
You know, family members that you know are struggling with mental health or whatever the case may be, and the answer is always a pill. And it's just, it's fucking. Oops, sorry, it's sickening.
It's okay.
It's really it's sickening. Fucking sickening. Like where I look at your property, and I think, wow, this is medicine. Right. Where,
yes.
You
yes.
Know,
that's,
you know,
preach.
Like it's this could be the medicine that relative needs.
Yes,
right?
Chris.
It's not so much about like I'm depressed. Why are you depressed? Here's a pill to help you. Like
I say it all the time. Like chemically unbalanced doesn't need to be corrected always with a pill. It could be corrected with your diet, with herbs, with sunshine.
And to be fair, sometimes people need medicine, exactly. And then yes. That's, you know what I mean. Yeah. But like
where the money's behind.
Right.
That's the scary part. Exactly. That we're the only civilized country in the whole world that allows pharma to have commercials on our airways.
Like, well, it's all right. So
absolutely sickening. But
this really adds up. Or that makes sense. So a few episodes ago, Karen and I were talking about, okay, we had a while ago on one of our first B-Site episodes, we had Tom Pearsall from Everwild Farm came in and was talking about regenerative farming. And there's this regenerative farming movement, you know, it's beyond like organic, it's regenerative. And it's this whole mindset of farming, and it's about taking care of the earth. And you mentioned on Root Zone, there's like 8 years of topsoil left in this country because of just the depletion of soil. So it's like focusing on that issue.
It's so crazy, that stat.
Oh, it's so nuts. So then we were like, okay, what can we do as just, you know, heart gardeners at home, you know, just like growing veggies at your home. What can we do? And he's like, stop tilling. He's like, stop tilling your gardens. He's like, use compost, leave the roots, leave the structures there to decompose. He's like, if there's something that's too big that to break down, then get rid of it.
Well, it's the same thing as like the like mycelium and all the microbes in the soil when you pull them out. So you want to leave the roots in.
You want to feed them.
Because you want to feed them. You want to give them something to eat over the winter.
Bring it up on a later podcast. Like Kara's talking in Herb Corner and she's like, hey, you know, leave your roots in. We were just cleaning up our garden. We left all the whatever. And somebody hits me up. They're like, no, this is you're sending a terrible message and you're going to ruin people's gardens if you have them do this. I'm like, this is a bold of an accusation here. So I'm like, okay, this person's kind of coming at us. I hit up two different really great farmers that I know, and I'm like, hey, just am I giving bad advice telling people to, and they went, no, exactly what you should do. So I'm like, hey man, just so you know, talk to two like really great farmers, and they said we're good and this is good advice. And he's like, well, they're going to have all these pests. And I'm like, okay, what pests? And I can't even remember what he said, but I immediately like Google it. And I'm like, causes of this pest. And it's poor soil.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, if you leave all the, you know, whatever, the tomato vines, it's going to lead to more pests. I'm going, no, you're actually feeding the soil, which will lead to less pests. Like,
and you also might nurture the good pests that are there.
So then the reason I'm saying it is the final thing where finally I just had to go like, we're done having this conversation. He goes, here's a study done by the USDA that said you should rip it all out. And then like later on the study, it's like, and spray chemicals the next season to correct the, and I just went, dude, if you're sending me USDA articles on this, like we're just talking different language. Yeah. This is just a very different thing.
And we like, talk about like different, even beekeeping podcasts, like have people on and like, state these studies and you're like, look at where the money, look where,
and then
the
you
money?
Look at their resume and you go, oh wow, they were working for the chemical corporation and now they're working for the Department of Ag, or now they're working for National Institute of Health,
because that's how it works too. Those people just
so
like
sad.
Employ
we could
each
go
other.
Down that fucking rabbit hole.
Yeah,
man,
it's not fun. But you say decomposing things, we had I was a little embarrassed because I brought up humic acids and we asked the definition on the root zone and like I was like, bothering me for like weeks. But it really is
redemption. Here we go.
Decomposition of matter, right? And what?
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
So that's all it is. So your tomato vines, your anything you can think of that was once living and is now not. After it decays and after it's done decaying, it produces this humic that things feed on, and that's what a humic product. That's what a humic is.
So in regenerative farming, and when we're talking about farm fields or like, you know, your gardens where they come in and they're putting a huge layer of compost down at the end of every single season, they're growing their cover crops to, you know, rejuvenate the soil, blah 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 blah. I get how that's different lawn wise, right? So top dressing with compost
is a solution to a problem.
Okay.
So that's how we look at any new development, Toll Brothers, anything. It's terrible what they do to the soil. They put all these little houses on little pedestals so they don't have to worry about water.
They scrape all that topsoil off.
And then sell it back to you. So that's how they buffer some of the cost, is they're
no way really
truck away all the soil to a topsoil manufacturer.
No way. I've always wondered where topsoil comes from, because the term just kind of cracks me up. I'm like, you're buying topsoil. Like, where was it topsoil?
They stole it.
So literally.
Literally.
No shit.
Yeah, they stole it. So it's I mean,
I guess anything built is on topsoil. It's like, well.
Well, think they
and
come
those
in these
huge
major
mounds, yeah.
Yeah, they come in these, and where do those mounds go? Like, you see a development being made.
Oh, yeah, and then one day it's just 50 it's truckloads, 1,000 truckloads.
Gone.
Yeah.
Gone.
That's topsoil. No way.
And they're selling it back to the homeowner for me to put down on your lawn. Right?
Man.
So that's where the top dressing or the top compost, whatever you want to call it, there's a million ways to do it. But that's where we come in, where that's where we're looking at a Toll Brothers house, like, okay, you have been farming. They farm this land.
They stripped it, pillaged.
They pillaged, not even tillaged it. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
yeah, yeah.
They've taken everything. We can do. Like, I can put as much chemicals as I want down. It's not gonna instantly help it. What's gonna instantly help it is us adding soil back to you.
So is the topsoil, I guess, the most alive part of the soil?
The first, I wish I knew the stat. I think it's only 4 inches that are alive, or 8 inches that are alive. Something
I know
like
mineral
that.
Compounds are found the deeper you go in soil. It's a big part of growing crops and grapevines and whatever else, hops big. It's how deep the roots can go because they're accessing minerals.
Correct.
But I'm curious, calcium, what that, like the top 4 or whatever inches, what that contains. It's, most of the organic material or something,
so
you know?
There's so many cool stats about topsoil and like how many billions of micros are in 1 square inch of a well-maintained soil. And so, you know, that's our game plan is soil. And we look at those top dressings. Yes, we have to bring in yards and yards of soil to replace it because you don't have any.
It's so you're going topsoil down. You're amending it, I'm sure, mm-hmm. with some nutrients, some, you know, acids, whatever the technical terms are. Seed. Covering of those seeds, covering of that. Are you throwing down, you know, like a straw type stuff? Are you throwing anything down? Do you need to protect that from?
No, because you're birds not. Only? Yeah, this is not like some out of a Hitchcock movie. Like, you're not going to have a flock of birds. We're putting 8 pounds of seed per thousand.
Let them have some seed.
They can have the seed. Like, feed the birds for a little bit. Put a birdhouse. We'll give you some seed. Like, so when we do this process, we're also aerating our lawns too. So you're creating these pockets, and then you're filling them instantly with that new soil.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
So detriment, yes, we're pulling, but in these lawns, there's really no roots to pull out. All you're pulling out is 8-inch, 10-inch soil cores that have no...
Yeah, I thought it was more just like you don't want to compact the soil. So you're pulling the plugs, which is not, you know, versus the attachment I have that I can pull on our ATV is just, you know, it just looks like Hellraiser
barrel. You're just opening pockets.
Okay.
That's all that... They both do the same exact thing, opening pockets so things can get deeper. The one pulls a core, the one doesn't.
Because you're probably not compacting it all that much.
Well, at one point I had somebody that was like, you're doing the wrong thing here with the aerating like that. And then I went and the only thing I could afford was just this like two...
Oh, the one, the foot one?
The foot one where I did the whole like 3/4 acre that we had.
But then it would get clogged.
Oh, it was the worst.
And then I was just like,
but I did it because we had this soil. Well, that was the place that I talked about. We played cornhole on it once, and it was ruined. So I was like, I need to do compost this whole thing. I need to pull all these plugs and then let the chickens do work.
So I have another question. So when people want to get, like, have you spray pesticides? Like, what kind of pests are they trying? Like, I'm guessing insects, but what kind of insects?
So we're only targeting things that are going to destroy lawns.
Okay.
So grubs.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Gnarly. It's really the only pest we want to target.
Okay.
Right? That's it. We're not going after earthworms. We're not trying to do any of that.
Like
now,
spiders or?
Spiders, absolutely. And that's based on the customer, right?
Right. So, that's what I'm saying. Like, again, it's not, I'm not even like commenting on you. I'm commenting on like, I just want to educate everybody.
But like grubs are found in like poor soil.
Well, grubs is all about.
It's a symptom of something else.
It's a threshold.
Okay.
So grubs are a threshold, right? So however many per square foot, right? If you see more than 6 grubs per square foot.
There's an imbalance.
There's an imbalance. Something is, it's going to destroy your turf.
Yeah.
And that's all turf types. So, you know, you have a grub infestation, even on your property, it would be annoying.
We saw it on our old property. Yeah.
Right. So we go after that type of product. Now, if you're talking about our outdoor insect control, like that's our insect we talk about in the root zone, it's more of a deterrent. So are we deterring spiders? Yes. Are we deterring ticks? Yes. Are we deterring mosquitoes? So yes.
That's that spray that you spray.
Correct. Well, so there's
where they used to use the same stuff the tick kills, but and now it's skeeter, mageeter, beater. What is it?
Tick and skeeter, deleter.
Skeeter, deleter.
People either love or hate that name. We don't have to say which one on the podcast. But tick and skeeter, deleter, Brian Sweeney, great guy. Shout out to Brian. For creating a great product, by the way.
But like, those are you know, essential oil-based, you know, it's thymol, it's a lot of funny, a lot of same stuff.
Well, that's like my uncle that sprayed the Roundup all over the place. He also was killing all of these spiders because my aunt was like terrified. And I just wanted to be like, this is their house. Like, let them be outside.
You're
like,
probably causing an imbalance because the spiders inside are controlling some other stuff.
And that's the thing about like outside is we have to kind of gauge our customer too, like how fanatical they are.
Right.
Because if they're fanatical, we're like, all right.
You're like, what's your scale of hippie to not hippie?
Correct. I wish we had it. We should put that on our contact form.
Like, how much of a hippie would you consider yourself?
And like a little like self-evaluation. Percentage.
Yeah, you're like from Tim Allen to, I don't know, some Cheech and Chong. Like, where do you fall?
That would be, because that's really what it comes down to is like our customer base, some of our customers, most of our customers truly understand it because we try to explain to them like how insect control works. It's cumulative. It's us coming out and it's a deterrent. Like that's the idea of it. Now I want to preface that. Do we still spray pesticides? Absolutely. That have neonicotinoids in them. I'm not gonna. I know.
Oh. I mean, I watched the code that was put on the door when we went into your place. So, you know, it's all of a sudden you're like, where did all of the Roundup go? Don't look at me.
It's gone. I got a guy. But like I said on the Root Zone podcast, we are super, super excited about 2025. That's going to be a big year for us for getting rid of all neonicotinoids out of our program.
Because like you're able to have access to other I remember you said like patents are coming off.
Patents are coming off. Every other continent has wiped these things off. You know, you can't use them in all of Europe.
Exactly.
I don't think they're magically like, well, dandelions are taking over the world or whatever. Yeah. Like.
Although, side note, dandelions do penetrate the soil very deeply.
Crazy. Those taproots.
Yeah.
Okay. What can our listeners get? So, you know, it's the middle of winter. We're saying you got to prepare for beekeeping in the spring. You know, you got to build boxes. You know that you're going to do splits, blah, 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 blah. You got your lawn. You know, what should people be thinking about right now in the wintertime? And what should something that everybody should be doing for that lawn come springtime? Besides calling stout
lawn care.
And leave the leaves.
February. There's two ways to look at it. You know, the first like healthy thing you can do for your lawn is try to keep off of it when it's really cold. I mean, it's just like any other plant. Like if you step on it when it's frozen, it's going to crack it. It's going to hurt it. So the less traffic on a frozen lawn or a.
So shake your fist at get off my lawn and
get those kids off your lawn. No, not to that extent, but just think about on a really, really cold night, like running.
And you can hear it go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
When you get to that.
Wait, what does it sound like? Oh, yeah. I can picture
it. Is that it? No. there's nothing to do in the winter. Right. Let the lawn be the lawn. Right. And if you're really, you really have to mow or like any of that stuff, like you said, just leave it, just mow it and drop it. Like,
well, it's hilarious. I mowed this lawn two times ever since we moved in.
Cause I mowed it like all the other times.
No, you did once. I did once. And, it was getting so long and I went, it's winter's, we're good. And now I was like, I literally walking in today, I was like, did we end up cutting this before? It's so low now. But no. Yeah.
Grass is smart. It goes dormant.
So yeah.
It's like, F this. It's cold out. Let's put all our energy down in the root system.
Especially our dumb California grass. It's like, where am I right now?
Yeah. They're so confused because they're doing so well.
Like, yo, brah, what's like, going on here, dude? Yo, man, it's cold.
The salt water is supposed to be hitting me, man. What was your question again?
Springtime. Or wintertime.
In preparation.
What is something people should be doing?
So get a plant, right? Whatever situation you're in, whether you want to go 100% nothing on your lawn and you want to do it all organically, call us. We have a solution for that, right? So that's the thing is have a plan. What do you want to do? What do you want to spend? What do you want to spend on your lawn care budget? Hey, I have $500 to spend on my lawn. Great. I have 1,000, whatever the case may be. The first thing you can do is from there, establish what you want to do. If you want to go to a professional company, I would recommend Stout Lawn and Pest. We will come out and start you on a program where we're preventing weeds really early in the year and taking care of them when they start popping out and then fertilizing and all the other stuff.
Yeah. And also when you're starting off this whole thing, getting some professional help, advice, getting the start by people that know what they're doing is probably a pretty good idea, even if your goal, somebody like me, I'm like,
education piece.
But you know, the other half of that is for yourselves. Like if you're in the market of creating a healthy lawn, the first thing you need to do is aerate and seed in the spring. You need to use a high quality ryegrass or bluegrass or tall fescue, you know, a mix of all three is always good.
I had a really hard time finding just non-coated, non-chemically covered seed.
You just got to call me. I can go pick it up. I get it right from Oregon.
Yeah.
Doesn't touch anything but a bag in my hand.
I have tall fescue. I was able to get like a 40 pounds, a big sack of it. And I have that, but it was literally the only volume seed I could find.
Yeah.
That wasn't available. I ended up having to go to Tractor Supply. They carried it, but like two or three other big box stores didn't have a single seed that I, just looking at the ingredients, felt comfortable with.
Agway is pretty good because they serve a lot of farming community. Nice. So Agways are always good. But ask me for seed for sure.
So just to go back to this leave thing, because like I'm always like, do the right thing. We're saving the environment.
Do you sound like that?
I try not to, but that's how I feel inside. And so I was telling people like, leave the leaves. Just like my friends, I was having conversations and so many of them are like, well, my one friend's like, I can't, it looks bad. I'm not leaving the leaves, Kara, like, leave me alone.
Well, I mean, like, chop them.
It's not.
Run like, over them, at least.
Well, and people that's, are so.
And that's my whole thing.
I don't want to call people.
No, they're dumb.
The D word.
People are dumb.
But it's not about, like, people are trying too hard. So your leaves start falling at the end of September, middle of September, whatever. So chop them up then. And then a week later, chop them up again.
So just keep cutting your grass.
Just keep cutting your grass.
But put it on the highest setting.
Exactly. And you don't have to cut the grass to cut the grass. So you all. So
these people who are like my friend that's like, I like my yard. I want it to. And then he's like, I pile it in the back and all the bugs can just be back there. And then I don't have like.
That's not how that works.
I know. But okay. So, but if he cares about, and lots of people do, like we've been saying, care about the aesthetic of what it looks like compared to the neighbors,
just
like
mow more,
chop it. That'll help it look.
Oh, it's even better as a product. When you chop your leaves, you're taking a bag of $40 fertilizer that you can buy at Home Depot, and you're doing that.
Wow, that's such a good way of putting it.
Without even thinking about it. So think about all that slime, all that stuff that's all wet leaves, right? So just pick a goddamn dry day when all the leaves are blowing around. Don't put your mower down. You don't want to cut the grass. You want to cut the leaves.
Hmm.
Yeah. And just cut it. And guess what? You'll have a beautiful, pretty looking lawn. And you won't even see them.
Other argument was it kills the grass. It kills the grass. I'm like, it doesn't kill the grass. But that would also.
You just got to be on top of it. You can't be dumb.
But the big clumps.
You can kill. Guess what? Grass is not that serious. It's an amazing plant. You talk about all these amazing. I'm obsessed with grass. You can leave your leaves. I've done it.
I've always been a big fan of grass myself.
Well, because isn't that what?
Hopefully, we'll be farming grass soon.
And forever and ever, leaves fall and it doesn't kill. Like this is just. I mean,
clumps of
like, you either piles. Have a forest where there's so much that it creates a different type of soil with no grass. There's other plants that are going to be the ground covering, or you have an oak tree here or a spruce tree here, whatever.
And these people don't have that many trees that it's going to make that big of a difference.
It's not. And if you leave it there for 2 weeks, it's fine. Like grass, the idea
is a good message.
The idea is grass is very, very, very resilient. Like it's really cool how resilient it actually can be.
I mean, think about any plant that you can walk on. You can cut it every week, and it's still. As annoying as grass is, like lawn grass is, and as kind of as difficult as it is to get growing and maintain and everything, the amount of beating it takes is impressive.
I could literally
any other plant in here. You know, imagine taking any plant, just stepping on it over and over again. Yeah. It ain't growing back.
And like I can look at your backyard, and we can get you on a plant. I don't want it. You're going to do it yourself, but I'm going to give you a plan, and within 5 years, you're going to have 80% of the grass you want and all the other stuff you guys like it'll be intermingled. It won't be, but you know what you're going to do when you walk out there in the middle of December, you're not going to squish 2 feet in the ground because there's so many roots and soil structure
that you're just
going to squish the grass. Right.
Good. Yeah. No, that's ideal. Like I said, we got a blank slate out there.
Yeah. Everything needs work around here.
There's like a level that you really should never cut lower than because it just stunts the root growth big time.
It's all grass type. So you're in the south, you got Bermuda or like a Poana or like any of those, you can cut them down to a 16th of an inch. And that's kind of where they might be in their happy place, right?
Golf course grass.
So in our northeast, I don't ever cut my lawn under 3 inches.
Yeah,
ever.
There you go.
And if I do because grass is so resilient, I will be doing some sort of renovation. Like, I got this humic sand that's a pretty cool product. So when I apply that, I want a pretty short grass to so it reaches the soil. It's not just sitting on top of the grass. So at that point, I might cut it to an inch or two or something like that and apply that product. But our grass loves to be at that height. It loves to be at 3-4 inches.
What about people that want need to level a little bit? You know, you got some little you come out of winter and you find you got some little low spots and you what's
so that's a slippery slope, right? Because the climate we live in, we have the freezing and thawing process in our soils. So
so a lot of that's what's happening. There's like heaving going on.
Correct. And settling. A lot of people are doing patios. A lot of people are putting, I got a pool put in or I got a fence put in or, well, those machines are running over this, the grass, and maybe creating caverns or, you know, little holes or whatever. The only solution is you can, because of that thawing and freezing, you're never going to have a perfectly level, perfect, you know, golf course type lawn. But what you can do is just add soil. You know, I tell people all the time, if you have problem spots, I like to create my own patch mix. So I go and get a couple
bags.
You just
got real excited about saying that.
my own patch mix.
Yeah.
Proprietary patch mix.
And it's just because it's so easy and people like make things so hard when it doesn't have to be. Go buy some topsoil. Don't buy it from Lowe's. Don't buy it from Home Depot. Go to Murphy's Soils Factory or whatever you want to call it. Get a couple bags from him. Pour it in a wheelbarrow. One cup of seed for 50 pounds of dirt. Mix it together with your hand and walk around with your wheelbarrow.
Sand, anything else?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
You don't need to. Sand's like the next, that's the slope, right? How level do I want my lawn? Then you start thinking about, okay, then I got to toss sand down and rake it down.
Yeah.
I'm talking for Johnny home that doesn't want the big dip in his lawn when he's mowing his grass and or it's, the kids are tripping or they're playing soccer out there and they're twisting their ankle. Literally find the spot, push all that material down, compact it down, fluff up the top inch, water, sunlight. It'll fill that
no way.
Bump.
Okay.
And yeah. If you're like the idea of.
So you said put soil down.
Correct.
Tamp it down.
We're looking
it up.
At your house, right? You got all these roots, you got all these trees, all this other stuff.
Yeah.
The more seed and grass and everything you put down is the soil is going to ultimately naturally level itself.
And that's just water essentially is going to level it.
The grass clippings are going to fall and they're going to fall into a deeper spot, right? And then they're going to compact and turn into soil and that's going to level it off a little bit. So it's really like cultural.
So I'm just even thinking about these places that like from all of this rain we're having are like filled with water. Those are good things to do in those spots.
I'm asking these questions thinking of our
fixing all of our problems.
Grass is an amazing like filtration and absorbing thing. Like it
we've seen that happen, that it makes
the past few summers we've had some pretty impressive drought periods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, ideally you've built up your soil, it's holding a lot more moisture, but maybe you're not in that situation. How, you know, should people be watering? Should people be, you know, where's that point of like the grass is, it needs a dormancy period. It wants this in the middle of July, August.
It doesn't matter.
Versus, yeah.
It's your customers or your personal preference, right? If you want green grass in the summer, you have to water it. If you don't want, I have yet to be in 16, 17 seasons of doing lawns. I've yet to find a year where the grass didn't come back, where 100% of Pennsylvania lost their lawns. Like it just doesn't happen. Like you're fine. It's fine. Now, do you want a nicer area for your kids to play out back that's a little fluffier and not like straw? I don't know, water a little bit, but the trick to watering is water like Mother Nature provides us. So deep, infrequent waterings.
Infrequent.
Infrequent.
Yeah. Deep, yeah, anybody that grows plants knows it's better to let them dry before you're watering them again than to keep them wet all the time.
So all these, you know, mini mansions that have irrigation and they're watering for 22 minutes every morning all of summer, that is a terrible way to grow grass.
Hmm.
Because the root system is going to find what it needs. So if it's finding water at the top 1 inch,
no need to go deeper.
No need to go deeper.
Yeah.
So you turn that water off, new homeowner, I'm not paying for water in my lawn. He turns that water off, he's going to lose 60% of his lawn because that lawn is used to getting that 1/8 of an inch or 1/16 of an inch every morning.
Yep.
Huh. So logical.
Any other little things that you think people aren't doing that it's like, why aren't you doing this? It's fun. I'm glad you said it, man. Cutting lawns too low is it's a pet peeve of mine when I see it. It drives me nuts.
And it creates.
I get annoyed that my lawnmower like five isn't higher than it is. Like, so
talking about weed chart, right? And you're talking about like oxalis, and there's a lot of weeds that like to puff up. They like to grow at 2-3 inches, right?
Yeah, they stick out a little and above the grass.
The ones you don't want, the crabgrasses, are the ones that stay real low and like want to dominate other species. They don't want to
They want to spread more than they want to shine.
Yeah, they just want to. They want to take over as much territory as they possibly can. So it's, I don't know.
Which is, I mean, what lawn grass wants to do. Yeah, I mean that's what it. Yeah,
that's the idea of it.
I mean, here's a good. All right, so somebody's trying to grow new grass, right? So they did something in their yard and now they need to regrow grass. Is your thought, okay, seed everywhere?
Oh, yeah.
Or is it seed a portion, water it properly, let that then spread from there?
That will determine the seed you use.
Okay.
So certain seeds grow in little clumps, they're clumping grasses, and certain grasses grow through rhizomes and intermingle.
So right? When you're buying seed, look up.
Correct.
And if it's clump variety.
Fescues. So okay. I'll break it down to three grasses that are the easiest to understand. The buzzwords. Tall fescue. So you think of tall fescue, it's exactly what it is. It's tall, it's strong, it stands up to heat and insect damage better than anything else. But it grows in clumps. So it's only going to be one plant. It'll get bigger, but it'll never grow left, right. Doesn't migrate.
Okay.
Then you have Kentucky bluegrass. Another buzzword, bluegrass, is everybody loves. They're a little bit better at migrating, so they can go left and right. They can move a little bit.
They spread through rhizomes?
Correct.
Okay.
So, but they're not very good at holding up to heat and stress and insect damage. Then you have like ryegrasses, which are kind of like a hybrid, I would call it. They don't look as nice. They're more similar to a fescue. And now there's all these grasses. They're all trying to come out with hybrids that do grow through rhizomes. So it's if you want to... To answer your question, if you're trying to do a project, you want to find a blend that has all three of these grasses in them.
Oh, the blend.
You don't want to...
Which makes sense.
You don't want to dominate. If people, you brought up earlier, oh, I have this rye, these customers, oh, I got this rye, it looks different. I always tell my customers, well, that's good, because if some little bug comes, army worms come up from the south again, because a tornado or a hurricane came up from the south, and they love...
And it carried it through the hurricane?
100%. There was... I'll send you some pictures of how places in Delaware that got army worms and eliminated 80% of their lawn in 2 nights.
Because there wasn't enough variety. But if there was variety, it would attack X.
Correct.
But Y and Z would still be there.
Diversity of everything, even. Yeah.
Correct. Now, that army worm was a little different. They were a killer. They took a lot of grasses out. But in general, you want a nice blend of grasses because if, you know, certain grasses struggle in the summertime, certain are better in the fall. So if you have this nice little blend of all these grasses, you're just going to have a more consistent lawn throughout the year.
Well, it's funny because at our old spot, we would let the grass grow. We were like almost no-mow period because we would move a 500-square-foot chicken fencing around and the chickens would take care of it. Yep. And then like 2 weeks later, you move them and it was awesome.
And nobody could see our house from the lawn.
Yeah. We weren't in a neighborhood being judged. But but it was interesting because at certain times of year, you could see just, you know, X seed that we must have thrown down. That variety had died off. Other ones still alive. It was like, you know, I don't know, you start hitting old age and your beard comes in a few different colors. That was what was going on in the lawn. And I kept being like, oh, look, like whatever that is, it died. But this other thing is popping. Oh, you know, but it was like multicolored.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah, you'll see.
But it wasn't that green perfect.
There's like a, you know, Bermuda or like bent grass. There's like a bluish tinge and it looks more like a carpet. Doesn't grow.
Yeah, it's a little floppier.
It's like floppier.
Yeah. I can picture clumps of that.
There's a million different varieties, but that grass is okay. But but all you gotta do is aerate and seed over it and put a little fescue grasses down.
It'll win.
And then they won't win. They'll just they'll be happy together. They love everyone. The grasses all like each other, you know. So it's really about like the hardiness. So you don't want those bent grasses because they die off and they get muddy and like they're not good. So if you can intermingle some of those other grasses in there so they're a little hardier for the longer, you're gonna have less mud. You're gonna have this, you know, because the summer grasses, the southern grasses do well in the summer, where the northern grasses struggle in the summer. So it's kind of the opposite. So this time the northern grasses are doing a lot better. They're going dormant, but they're doing better.
So the final thing I'm going to say is, you know, we talk a lot about like stick it to the man a little bit here, and you know, I don't drink from these big corporations breweries, and we try to stay local, stay small business. I'll go ahead and say it. The Green Thumbs of the world, the True Greens of the world, these national corporations that are doing lawns, I'm sure there's plenty of dudes out there doing a good job working for those people. But look and find a local business that's doing it. Those guys have to do a good job because it's all word of mouth. It's all when Chris has a customer that he does good for, that customer probably 50% of the time then tells another person, here's my guy, they're great. They rely on doing a good job, where the True Greens of the world, that's not how they're spreading their business. That's not the name of the game for them. Like, go find a local business to help you in working with your lawn. And also, they're used to your local conditions. They know the soil types of everybody. Yeah. Like,
and I think
it's what they do.
I think it's also important that, like, we learn from Chris that, like, you can do it in a way that's nature forward, and you know what I mean?
It's cares not so about black the environment. And white.
It's not like, I wish I could sign up 1,000 customers that got 3 services a year, an aeration seeding in the spring, right. An aeration seeding in the fall, and a bunch of lime applications, because that's a great business model for me too. Cause you know, that's really easy.
Yeah. It's super boom, easy. Boom, boom.
But that's not what the market demands.
Not realistic.
But like you said, the small business, True Green is not going to offer you an all organic. Well, yeah. They might. It's all bullshit, right? Yeah. Where I know if you call Steve and say, hey, listen, I heard your podcast and I want this. Cool. That is what you're getting.
Well,
and you're also getting it the highest quality too.
If you go on your website, it's really clear. Like as you're talking about, look up the local guys, like you can see like what you stand for and what's important to you guys and like all of the offerings on there. Like you can find people that do it the right way and have like good options. And hopefully that's only increasing as time goes by, like you said.
And just when you find good small local businesses,
support them
and spread the word. Tell Absolutely. People about them. Like, I mean, there's not much better than when somebody sends us a message. And Kara and I were at a party recently, and our friend Meg bought Kara Jo products and then showed up to this party with the Kara Jo gift. And another random person also brought a Kara Jo gift for
them. And they didn't know each other.
And they didn't know each other. And they're like, wait, you know Kara Jo? Wait, you know Kara Jo? And then they're both sending pictures like, holy shit, this is unbelievable. Like, that meant so much.
Well, I think it's just so, there's so much bad things happening in our world. And like, I feel so powerless a lot of times, but I think that it really, it matters who we support, and it matters the decisions that we make on a local level. And it might not seem like a big deal, but like supporting Chris and supporting us and supporting your local people, it matters. It makes an impact. It matters where you spend your money.
It almost makes me emotional because, you know, now that I own my own small business, now I'm like embedded in the small business community, and you get to know like Brian Finnegan, like we've known him for years, and now he's like with this awesome company, Avanti Plumbing. It's just so cool. And then like anyone asks plumbing or,
yeah, I got a guy.
And it's not about having a guy. It's just that good feeling you get from that business getting him getting that business.
Yeah. And like you he's said, not going, he's going to go out of his way to not screw up that word of mouth. You know, like that's what I think people don't realize. They think small business, oh, they might not have the resources as these big companies. it's not about that. It really isn't.
No, it's if most of our sales come from referrals. It's not even close. If our number one marketing is referrals.
Word of mouth by far has to. Yeah, it's not
if
even close.
If it's not number one, you have you got a problem.
Yeah.
You're a true green, right?
Yeah, you're because spending a lot of money on SEO, Google ads, absolutely, or whatever.
True,
you know?
Green rolls over 40% of their, they lose 40% of their business every year.
Oh, wow.
So
there's a reason.
Exactly. There's a reason, and they are the, should I dare say, the Victory Brewing Company of the world. Where
they'll sue me if I say that. So we'll call them the Budweisers.
The Budweisers, the Anheuser-Busches of the world.
Again.
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, not to be Victory, but Victory used to be good. You know, I used to love that little tiny little brewery. And there's a brewery in Lansdale. Does anybody remember Prism Brewing?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that was some of the greatest beers I've ever had came out of that place. And he tried to go big and lost it all.
Womp, 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 womp. All right. I'm just going to tell a funny story to finish this up.
Okay.
Karen and I were at a grocery store today.
I was wondering if you were going to bring this up. Go for it.
Karen and I went to this grocery store, just, you know, whatever. And I was like, we went for a little hike beforehand. Get there. I'm like, I got to pee. Like, run, go to the bathroom. As I leave the bathroom, this guy's like waiting outside the bathroom. And I walk out and he goes, "Hey there, big boy." And I just... just walked right past this dude. So real weird looking guy. Super weird looking old dude.
Okay, so then Greg comes up to me and he's like, "This just happened to me in the bathroom." I was like, "Oh, some dude wants to fuck you in the bathroom." And Greg's face was like, "What? What are you talking about?" And then, wait, and then he, the guy, like, we see him. And I go, "Oh, that dude totally wants to get fucked in the bathroom."
He followed me around the grocery store.
Greg is so upset about this.
Staring at me. Real weird looking.
Yeah.
For, like, every time I went to a new aisle, he was just, I could see him like around a corner staring at me. So uncomfortable. Now, I'm 6'6", like 400 pounds.
No, you're not 400 pounds.
I'm a big boy. All right, 6'6", 270 pounds. And I'm still like, I don't feel real safe right now.
I said to Greg, I'm like, "Now you know what it feels like to be a woman." Because it was like that.
So then I'm like, okay, this is out of control. This guy's staring at me. And he's like 20 feet away, just staring at me in the middle of the grocery store.
He's going, "He's staring at me." Staring
every time I staring at me. And all of a sudden this guy's going, "Yo, Larry Bird. Yo, Larry Bird." And he's yelling, "Yo, Larry Bird," to get my attention because I'm a tall white guy. So I'm just ignoring him. I'm like, I can't deal with this. I can't deal with this. Then all of a sudden he walks up where Karen and I are in an aisle getting some pasta, and he walks up to me and he starts getting a little too close and he goes, "Hey, are you a Norseman?"
But he's saying it the whole time. He's like, "Are you a Norseman? Are you a Norseman?" Like this big weird smile on his face.
What
this guy's all
dishing.
Like a Viking.
Because again, I'm a tall white guy.
Where's that question going?
And it's I stuck my hand 100%. Out. I stuck my hand out and I was like, please get away from me. I don't want to interact with you. Get away from me. And he just like,
he just walked
out of the store.
Yeah. But Greg was like traumatized by it. Yo, and like, we had to go into another store. I'm like, "I'm going to let you sit in the car and just like process your sexual harassment that you experienced."
So yeah. So ladies, just for the record, I still got it.
Oh, you hear a funny story?
I still got it.
Me and my wife were talking about this exact situation, sort of.
You were the one yelling, "Yo,
no,
Larry Bird."
She was, a song came on and she's like, "Do you remember the last time we heard this song?" I was like, "No." She's like, "We are at drag night at a local bar." And I was like, "Oh yeah, I do remember that night." I was like, "I remember I was getting hit on all night." And I'm like, "So that's what it feels like to be a woman."
Although, man, that sounds like a good thing. This is like an uncomfortable.
Yeah, yours was uncomfortable. I mean, loving it. It was a great
There's
time.
A difference.
Drag shows are
I
awesome.
Did not feel
so fun.
Real good.
No.
So, ladies, I'm with you. Well, you know, I understood before, but man, I understand a little
you
more
have
now.
Seen, yeah, I was like, he really got the experience of being harassed and uncomfortable from a man.
That be said, if you listen this far,
you're a rock star.
We really appreciate it. Check out Stout Lawn and Pest.
That's what's right. What's your Instagram handle?
Stout_lawn_care.
And it's S-T-O-U-T.
Correct.
Yeah. Underscore
and
law,
then
underscore
Root
lawn.
Zone
underscore
podcast.
Care.
Root Zone is @RootZonePodcast. That's on Instagram.
And we'll repost that one.
Yeah, for sure. And hey, if you've got questions, hit Chris up. Hit him up. Send him a message. Please, he's a nerd. He's grass nerd.
We are grass nerds. We love it. And I want to say real quick, I appreciate you guys being so open and honest and letting me come on here and tell you how we think and how we're maybe a little bit different than everybody else, and that it's not, like you said, it's not all black and white. It can be both. We can be stewards of the environment, and we can also have a grass care company. So
and have beautiful lawns.
Hell yeah. Cheers, everybody. Happy New Year.
Bye.
Peace.